You know, if there's anything that we as a church truly have to begin to start doing, is that we have to begin a very offensive lifestyle. You know, all too often we are defensive, and, you know, we don't need to do that. God has told us that he's given us authority over the evil one, and it's time for the Christians to begin to stand tall, to go, we're tired of your nonsense. You know, we live in a different time. We live in turbulent times. We live in a time where things don't make sense. We live in a time of social injustice. We live in a time where it seems that Christianity is being attacked from all different sides. We just live in a very different time. Y'all recognize the picture, which is Martin Luther King. And whether you agreed with all of the things that he did or not, or whether you wanted to believe all the stuff that was said is immaterial, because here's what I want us to see about Martin Luther today. And the question that I want to ask us as a church is this: do we want to fit in or do we want to stand out? Now, I got to tell you, Martin Luther was a man. He had no desire about fitting in. He had a desire about standing out. And I think it's imperative that we as Christians do the same thing. Here's some of his accomplishments. He led the Montgomery bus boycott, and if you don't know a whole lot, can y'all get them to bump the AC down a little bit? Everybody is. We've got a windstorm blowing in here. But Rosa Parker was the lady, and it was an Afro-American lady that sat on a bus, and she was asked to get up. She wouldn't do it. But here's a man that didn't want to fit in. Here's a man that stood out because of social injustice. You know, he was the first president of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. He led the Birmingham campaign, again, over social injustice. He organized the March on Washington because of social injustice. He was famous for the speech, "I Have a Dream." He was a Times Magazine Man of the Year in 1963. And this I did not know, he was the youngest recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize. And here is a man that says, "I do not want to fit in. I am, because of my actions, going to stand out." Now again, we live in a world where Christianity is being suppressed. And the problem with the church today is that we want to fit in. And I'm here to tell you today that we don't need to fit in. We need to stand out. People need to begin to see that we are serious, candidly, about what we're going to do. I love this quote because it came from Ralph Waldo Emerson, but it says, "To be yourself in a world that is trying to make you something else is a great accomplishment." You know, I speak to the youth in our room today, you know, and the youth that are over in the foundry. You know, so many of our youth today will sit down and they'll go, "You know, I just don't fit in." And I'm going, I'm glad. They don't really understand that because they want to fit in. But I'm telling all of us today, as the years go on, as Christians, if you fit in, then you're not being the person that God has called you to be, because Christians cannot fit in. Christians need to stand out. I've had a lot of compliments on the message last week, and it was God's message. I was just the tool that delivered it over Halloween, and a lot of people said, "We have never heard a Halloween message before." And I think what is so important to us today is that it doesn't make any difference what holiday it is. We have to be the Christian that brings the light forth in a very dark and truly dying world. Romans 12:1 says, "Therefore I urge you, And you know, the word urge means encourage, and that also means that you have a choice here. But I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Now, you know, when it's all said and done, what do you and I have to offer God? Nothing except ourselves. You know, we're made up of a mind and emotions and feelings and thoughts and a body, but we have nothing to offer the God of God, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. And my prayer, and I pray it will be your prayer, is that we have so many people that attend this church, but they're sporadic in their attendance. And some of them have righteous reasons because of loved ones and people who are ill and people who are sick. And candidly, some people just said, I got to get away. But we need to make sure that we pray for this church, that complacency is gone, and that we get back to the first love that God has made mention. And that first love is loving our Lord, because that's the most important thing that we can do. Ephesians 4:1 says, therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord. And only you can answer this question, but are you a prisoner of the Lord? You know, when we pray to receive Christ, we always hear, you know, that if you confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. Okay, we hear the Savior part, that he saved us, but we bypass the word Lord. Because if he becomes the Lord of our life, we become number two, he becomes number one, and we have surrendered ourselves to him. And it's imperative for us to ask ourselves the question, have we honestly become prisoners of the Lord? Now, that's not a bad thing, okay? Because he said, I'll meet every need that you have in your life. But he says, I implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. And for everybody in this room, we've talked about integrity. Integrity is something that we have when we're alone. You know, integrity is what you do if you went out of town and you're staying in a motel room. You know, do I drink? Do I watch TV? Integrity is what we do that makes us who we are. And just because everybody else does it doesn't make it right. We live in a society today where right has become wrong, wrong has become right. We live in a society where people are absolutely 100% have taken both sides and they have just scrambled it up in a pot, and that's not what God wants us to do. See, as a Christian, are we willing to fit in or are we willing to stand out? And I promise you, if you go, Lord, let me stand out, God will take you places that will be extremely uncomfortable for you. But God doesn't want you to fit into society today. When you walk down the halls, when you're in the stores, when you're in the business, and people begin to see you, they look at you to go, that person has been with the Lord. And they want us to stand out. Rita Mae Brown said, I think the reward for conformity is that everyone likes you but yourself. You know, when we can conform to everybody else's standards, we do that because we want to fit in. And I got to tell you that if you're a born-again believer, the Holy Spirit will be dealing with you to go, you do not fit there. And if you, amen, give God a hand clap of praise. The challenge for you on our midst to this is that the reward for conformity is that, you know, you want everybody to like you. I've been doing this for 30 years, and it took me a long time, and we've laughed about it. You can't live your life wondering if someone likes you, because the news flash is most of them don't. You can't please everybody, but the one person that you can please is God. And if you please God, then everything else is going to be taken care of, and it is okay. In 2 Corinthians, it says, therefore, if anyone in Christ, is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. And then it says, behold. You know, I had someone after I met the Lord came to me and said, you know, I have been praying for you for years. And I didn't see any difference in my life, but they did. And they said, we are so glad that you came to know the Lord. You know, it's been said that one of the greatest regrets in life is being what others would want you to be rather than being yourself. You know, you can't be what someone else wants you to be, but you can be what God wants you to be. And you can fight and struggle all you want to go into a different direction. But if you finally get to the place where you say, I am a prisoner of the Lord and I surrender to the Lord, then the Lord will make you the person that he wants you to be. And you're going to find out that it's a whole lot easier doing it the Lord's way than it is your way. Not telling you that it's going to be an easy walk. I'm not going to tell you that it's going to be an easy ride. But I am going to tell you that you're going to find peace that you didn't have before, because it is God that gives us peace that surpasses all human understanding. Now, in the book of Romans, it says, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercy of God. I'm not saying this to you strictly as a pastor. I'm saying this by the mercies of God, that it is time that you and I present our bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to the world. That's not what it says. It says acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. If you sit down, we've been going through the book of Ephesians, and again it said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So why should we bless God? One, because he's God, but number two, because he is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then it says, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessings in the heavenly place. Today, when I prayed for an individual, I said that the Bible is specific, that what we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. What we loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. That's what the Word of God says. And what you and I have to do is begin to take this serious. Because if we don't, we are in trouble and we miss the opportunities that God has given us. Again, when it's all said and done, church, what do you have to offer God? God does not want you and I to sit in the chair. When we praise and worship, God wants us up. God wants us excited about what he's done for you and me. And there's not a lot of excitement today in church. And we've joked about this before, but go to the ball game. I'm telling you, go to the Astros. There is more excitement in the Astros ball game than there is in any church at all. And I joke about it, you had to pay $100 to get there. See, you can walk into this church and not pay a dime, and you get to worship a God who says, I'm not going to make you die for me. I died for you, and I've given you every spiritual blessing that I've got. How can we not get excited about what God has done for you and me? I mean, it's just, you know, it's just kind of like, you know, we're at the football game and we've got 1 yard to go. It's the Super Bowl. You know, you've paid $1,500 for these tickets, you know. But my gosh, you know, we've got that 1 yard to go and they finally make it and the stands go crazy. And all we've done is make these guys more millionaires. Well, I'm telling you right now that you've got more than they've got if you're a born-again believer when you walk in church on Sunday morning. See, the church has got to get just what you're doing right now. The church has got to get so excited that, as we said here, that we present What does it mean when you present something? It means that you bring it forward. You know, we've singing like, you know, all these great songs, and sometimes there's like, there's no excitement. And I'm like, gosh, how can you not be excited? And it says, but present your body a living and holy sacrifice, but it has to be acceptable to God, which means you cannot lower God's standards to meet yours. You're going to have to raise your standards to meet his so that it's acceptable. And it says, which is your spiritual service of worship to God. I mean, it's something that we need to do for what he did for us. Because what he did for us, we couldn't do candidly on our own. Hebrews 13 says, through him, then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. Continually. And then it says, that is the fruit of the lips that give thanks to his name. And do not neglect doing good and sharing, for which such sacrifices God is pleased. Without faith, scripture says, you can't please God. So when people come forward and we pray, we have to pray by faith. There'll be a point in time when we present the budget to you guys and you're going to have to look at it by faith. It's important for us to do that. See, sacrifice is an act of giving up something of value for the sake of something else regarded as more important. And you know, sometimes it's difficult because people go, but you know, I want to go here versus here. And what we need now in the life of this church is for everybody to understand that this is a monumental task, it's a monumental goal, and there are people in this world that we need to reach because they are lost and they are dying, and they're dying because their churches aren't going out and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. Romans 12:2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Now, the word conform means to assume a certain form. And in all honesty, JFK says conformity is the jailer of freedom and the enemy of growth. If you and I begin to conform to this world, we are stifling our growth because the ruler of this world is Satan. But our God is the God of gods, and God says, don't live by your fleshly desires, but live by the Spirit, because the way we worship the Lord is through Spirit and truth. And if you live in the world, you hear half-truths today. Now, Romans 6 and 12 says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your body so that you obey its lust. Now, there is no doubt that there are times that Satan will place things in front of us, and if we allow us to live by the flesh, then we're in trouble. And it says, and do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness. Because of what Christ did for you and me, you and I are righteous individuals. It means that we have a right standing with God. It means that we get to stand in God's presence because of what Christ did. If we can't stand in front of God's presence today, none of these prayers meant anything. But we have come in today into the Lord's presence. And the Bible says, come boldly into the throne room of grace. And that's what the church needs to do. We need to come in boldly to the throne room of grace and go, but Daddy, you said. And he's going to go, I did. And then we need to claim the promise. But it says, but present yourself to God as those alive from the dead. Now, we've talked today. I was talking to somebody, and I don't remember. And I don't know if you've ever seen someone dead that was resuscitated and they came back to life. I got to tell you, it's a pretty awesome feeling to see that. Well, everybody in this room was dead. You were nothing but filthy, dirty, rotten rags in the eyes of God. All of us in this room were. And the Bible will tell us that we were dead in sin. But Christ comes into the picture. You know, you go back to the statement, but on the third day. But on the third day, he rose again from the dead. And the same resurrection power that raises Christ from the dead, church, is the same resurrection power that's going to raise you and me from the death. And the thing that is so crazy about it, it says, but present yourself to God, to those alive from the dead. Now, can you imagine? I mean, you know, when I say it a lot, but when I had the embolism and all the doctors said, you know, you weren't supposed to live. When Mike Hogg had his aneurysm, everybody thought he was going to die. But see, now today we're walking, living, breathing individuals, and you and I got to get excited to go, woo, I was once dead, but now I'm alive. See, we got to get excited, church, that we're here. And we don't do it. See, you were in the morgue. You were laying flat. You were D-E-A-D, dead. In the police department, we called it D-R-T, dead right there. But y'all were DRT, all of us were, and Christ comes in the picture, and he breathes into our life, and he raises up from the dead, and we've got to present ourselves that we're alive, and that we're real, and that we love the Lord. Because if not, everybody's going to go, wow, big whoopee. No, I'm telling you, I was dead, but I'm alive. And you and I have choices. If you live by the flesh, it is death. If you live by the Spirit, it is life. And I got to tell you, we all want to live. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Now, when your wife called you a creature before, that's not what this means. But it says that you're a new creature, and it means all the old things that you used to do, gosh, they passed away. And it says, behold, behold, now you're new, and all the new things have come. See, it is no measure of health to be well adjusted to a profoundly sick society. And that's where Christians want to fit in today. And there's nothing healthy about that. And see, I'm going to step on toes when I say this, but if you've prayed to receive Christ and the old things are still in your life, then candidly, you're not a new creature. And those are the things that you have to sit back to go, did I mean what I say? Or do I need to say it again? Or do I need someone to explain? And we're going to do a lot of things in the new year to help people understand what they've done. 1 Peter 1 says, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts, which were yours in ignorance. We didn't know what was right and wrong prior to Christ. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourself, also in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Galatians says, who lives through us? Christ lives in us. And Christ is the perfect sacrifice. So you and I need to live a holy life, because that's what God is wanting us to do. Colossians 3:5 says, therefore consider the members of your earthly body as dead. And then it says, to immorality, impurity, passion, evil, desires, greed, which amounts to adultery. Anything that you put above God is an idol. And that's why I say when we talk about lordship, lordship is he becomes one, we become number two. And it's a bigger picture. We had a great discussion Wednesday night about people who pray to receive Christ. And a lot of people pray to receive Christ, but they really don't understand what they've done. And praying to receive Christ is more than saying a few words. Praying to receive Christ means that your life is changed. Amen. And that Christ now becomes in your life and he becomes the ruler of your life because he lives with you and he tells you what to do, when to do it, and how, honestly, to get it done. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who gave me, who loved me and gave himself up for me. See, are you going to live by sight or are you going to live by faith? If we live by sight, we would have never crossed the Red Sea. If we live by sight, we would have never walked around the walls of Jericho. It wouldn't have made any sense. But they live by faith, and they said, God, if you said it, we're going to do it. And see, I believe the same thing with this church. When we built the old church, God said, build a church. We didn't have a dime. We built a church. 20 years later, we built a new church. And God is still going to bless us. And we're still going to get to the other side. But it's going to take all of us to make that happen. Ephesians 4 says, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self. You know, sometimes it's pretty easy to take the old self off or the new self off and just start living by the new self. I mean, the old self and what God says is get on the new self. Put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, which has been created in righteousness and holiness and truth. The word transform comes from a root word, metamorpho, and it's where we get the English word metamorphosis, and which means a profound change in form from one stage to another like a butterfly. There's a lot of people in the Christian church today that are crawling on the ground like a caterpillar. But see, God didn't want, he didn't birth us to crawl on the ground. Our God birthed us to fly like eagles. And it's time for the church to sprout their wings and to begin to fly in the manner in which God wants us to fly. 1 John 2 says, do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, now catch this, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of eyes, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father. It is from the world. And church, you cannot be politically correct and biblically correct at the same time. It is not going to happen. And there are times that you're going to have to take a stand to go, that might be politically correct, but that is not biblically correct. I am no longer asked to pray at city council anymore because I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. And one of the people came up to me and said, I love your prayers. I'm glad you guys are here. But that Jesus thing makes people nervous. And I said, if you want me, you get Jesus. Well, currently they don't want me, so we don't go back and pray. You know, we have on certain occasions go, when you've been asked to go pray, don't mention Jesus. And I'm not going to do that. If you want me, you get Jesus. If you don't want me, then you won't have to hear about Jesus. But church, you and I have, all of us in this room have got to get to the place to go, I am not going to fit in. I am going to stand out for the cause of Christ. Ephesians 5:11 says, do not, church, do not participate in unfruitful deeds of darkness. And we've been talking about Halloween, and it's your decision in the days to come whether you're going to allow your family to participate in Halloween. And what we talked about last week is that we're going to do the Lord's Supper on Halloween. We're going to do it right here because the Bible says you cannot celebrate Satan's table and the Lord's table at the same time. Well, I'm not going to participate in Satan's table, but we are going to participate right here on the Lord's table. And we're going to do all things in remembrance of what God has done candidly for you and me. Now, if you are always trying, and I love this statement, if you're always trying to be normal by definition of the world, You will never know how amazing you can be by the definition of the Word of God. Amen. People want to fit in, but you can't fit. You know, it's kind of like putting a peg, you know, in a square. It doesn't go. Nothing round will go into a square. And either we're square or round, however you want to call it, but we don't fit and we shouldn't fit. First Peter says, whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterance of God. You're the ambassador of God. So whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies. All things are possible through Christ who what? Strengthens us. So that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And then we say amen. And here's the last slide that I want you guys to look at. Stop, church, trying to fit into the world and start standing for the glory of God. Because if we don't take a stand, I've said it over and over, in the days to come, there will be nothing to stand upon. It's time to take a stand. It's time to stand out. And it's time to speak the word of God. Amen. Give God a hand clap of praise this morning.